For the benefit of those of you who were not here this morning, I had a preaching schedule problem. I told the congregation this morning that last year, as I was planning out my preaching for this year, I had one more Sunday evening message than I had Sundays to preach it on. I either had to put another Sunday in the year or take away one message. And I really didn't want to take away one message, so the only other alternative was moving the last message of the next series that we'll do, which is the Book of Ruth, into the next year, separated by the Christmas messages, and that just gets all kind of out of order. So I said, I can take the passage that I would be following as from next week's or last week's sermon, preach it in the morning, and then preach this in the evening, what I'm going to preach. So you missed a passage in between here that's missing. You can find it on the internet if you want to listen to it. But I dealt with the issue of the blessings of suffering financially. Tonight I want to look at the opposite side of the coin and look at the dangers of being financially prosperous. We dealt this morning with verses 10 through 13, and it ends with the promise that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I said the context in which that promise is given is contentment. Paul had learned contentment. And the all things is being contented, whether he was in a state of prosperity or in a state of want. Tonight we get the second of the two promises that are oftentimes taken out of context, and we'll see that here in verse 19. But let's read on down, beginning at verse 14. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Let me stop there for a moment. Paul has received the offering. As I said this morning, Epaphroditus apparently was sent by the Philippians with a monetary gift. And Paul is saying that he commends them for them doing so. Not because he's getting money out of the thing, not because he's prospering because of it, but he's desiring fruit for their account. He's desiring that God will add blessing to the Philippian assembly because of their willingness to sacrifice of themselves. He said, I've been in a situation where I've been out in ministry. As you well know, when I started out on my missionary journey from Macedonia, you were the only church that was really involved in my ministry. You were the only church sending me any financial support. And even when I was over in Thessalonica, twice I received support from you. And he was only in Thessalonica a very short period of time. So they were really, really giving to his ministry. But he said, right now, because of what you have sent, the need that I have had is past. Your gift, apparently it was a substantial gift, has me being in a condition where, verse 18 says, I have all and abound, I am full, having received these things. And then he adds this verse in verse 19 that I believe also is taken out of context many, many, many times. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The word your is plural. In fact, every verb and every pronoun in this whole passage is second person plural. You. Now, in English, we don't have a singular you and a plural you. We just say you. But in Greek, there are two different words that are translated you. Now, the only thing in English is found in Pittsburghese. Yins. That's plural of you. Anyway, it's uncertain as you read an English translation whether he's speaking of the Philippian assembly corporately or whether he's speaking of everyone in the assembly individually. And usually when we quote this verse, we are applying it to an individual. I tend to believe, I cannot be dogmatic about it, but I tend to believe he's not talking about individuals, he's talking about the corporate ministry. And in saying that, it looks as if the corporate ministry was sacrificing itself for the ministry of the Apostle Paul. They were going possibly beyond their means. They were sacrificially giving and putting their ministry in a certain amount of liability, whether they could make ends meet financially. And Paul is saying, look, when I started out on this missionary journey, that was the position I am in. And now I am full. I have everything that I need to keep going. And consequently, in that you're doing this, God is going to supply your need in the same way he has supplied my need. I think that's what he's saying here in this. Nonetheless, he goes on then to conclude the letter in praise to God for all that he's done, and he gives a basically a common ending to the letter. Greet this one and that one, and they greet you, which is interesting because I don't know how many of the Philippian assembly would know anybody in Rome, but yet there's a brotherly love that exists between Christians, and certainly brothers take care of each other, even financially. But I want to harp on this evening, verse 18. But I have all and abound. I am full. That is a great statement for the apostle to make, only because if you back up, he said in our study this morning, verse 12, or verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. In that he says in verse 18, I am full. It's only a good statement because he was instructed in how to act being full. How to act having more than what is absolutely necessary to get by. Having all your financial needs taken care of, at least for the present, can be a very dangerous thing. In fact, there are some things in life that are absolutely dangerous unless you are instructed on how to use them. Mr. Gate, since you're here tonight, have you ever driven a car? Yeah, you better answer no, because I'll tell your dad if you have. Have you ever been instructed on how to drive a car? How many of you would like to give your car keys to Gabe and say, you know what? You don't need your parents to pick you up tonight. Just take my car home. Would that be a good idea? Gabe says, yeah. Would that be a thing that you would be willing to do? Well, without any instruction on how to operate a motor vehicle, Gabe is not only putting your possessions in jeopardy of being damaged, he's putting his life in jeopardy of being taken or injured, and he's putting everyone that he comes in contact with in jeopardy without instruction. May I say to you, without instruction concerning contentment, a believer is in great jeopardy being rich. I have four things tonight that I want to share with you are problems dangers of being rich, of having an abundance, of being full without instruction. The first one is this. Being full, we want to be fuller. Think about it. I want you to think about sitting at a table and eating a dinner to the point where you are full. Okay, that's the premise. Why would you eat until you're full? What would encourage you to do that? Don't want it to go to waste. It'll go to waste. You can be hungry and eat just a little and the hunger will be cured. Eat until you like the taste. Have you ever eaten and eaten and eaten when you said, this food is lousy? If the food is lousy, you'll do what is socially or acceptable to whomever you're eating with. But basically, you'll come up with, well, I'm on a diet and I really need to restrict what I'm eating. And consequently, you keep it and you go home and you say, oh, I'm so thankful to be home now. I can eat something that's good. But if it's really good, you're going to eat and eat and eat until you're full. And then you're going to want to say, man, that was good. I think I could eat just one more. Just a little bit more. And so it is with riches. We get all these good things. And then we get filled up on all the good things. And rather than being content with a full stomach of things, we want just a little bit more, especially dessert. I made a lot of points last night. The wedding cake was absolutely delicious. Oh, it was wonderful. And I took a piece home for my wife. On top of that, the flowers that were on the table were absolutely beautiful. I took a thing of flowers home for my wife. I've got at least 3 credits on meals right now. 2 credits on meals. I just blew it. Keep your finger here in Philippians chapter 4. Turn back with me to Luke chapter 12. Verse 16. And he, that is Jesus, spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? My barns are full, and I want more. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Now think about this for a minute. He's talking about barns, plural. Not a barn, but barns, plural. So we're talking, and it says here this guy is rich and he has plentiful, so he must have a lot of acreage. But nonetheless, whatever he has is filling up his barns, plural. And he said, I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns. Because I don't have enough room to store this great harvest. What is going to happen to his harvest in the time it takes to build those bigger barns? It's not going to be as good as when it was harvested. A certain amount of deterioration will take place because he has no place to store. But here's this guy. And rather than saying, I have more than what is needed, I will share with somebody else. I want more stuff. I have enough that I'm full, but it's not satisfying. I'm not contented with it. And so it is when people who don't know how to be content get rich. There's always a desire for just a little bit more. And rather than enjoying what they have, they start tearing down what they have so they can have much, much more. That's bad. Because what happens when you eat and eat and eat and eat? Sooner or later you're going to say, why did I do that? But here's the second thing. Being full, we don't want to work. Now, I can't speak for you women, but I can say, I think categorically, almost for men. We sit at the table and we have this delicious meal that our wives always make for us. My wife, did I get anything back on that one? And you eat and you eat and you eat and you're full and you're stuffed and you say, oh, I got to loosen the belt a notch. I'm so full. Well, I said I can't speak for the women, but the men will loosen the belt to be relaxed a little bit because we're so full. And then what do you want to do? Yep, we just want to go take it easy because, man, I can't work on a full stomach. Look at the very next verse, 19. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Don't work anymore. One of the things I said this morning about good financial stewardship is planning for tomorrow. This guy says, I don't have to plan for tomorrow. I have it all right now. I don't have to do whatever it is that I'm doing. And all that stuff, a fire could come along and burn that stuff up, and then he would have nothing. And because he's sitting back and not doing any work, well, there it all goes. God blesses when we are financially responsible. That doesn't mean that we can't put away things, as I said this morning. In fact, we need to put away things for this morning. That doesn't mean that we can't retire. But there's still the work involved in managing your finances. That's work. And making sure that there's still stuff coming in to maintain what you have. But when you get full, I just want to sit back and work. Nah. Put the ball game on. Third thing. Did you ever eat so much late at night and then try to go to bed? Oh. And you lay on one side and you go, oh, and you roll over and you, and your stomach is going, and you can't sleep because you had too much to eat. Because your body is trying to digest something. You're telling your body to go into a power down mode, and your stomach is saying, I need to go in a power up mode. You're fighting against yourself. That's what's going on biologically. It doesn't work. In the same sense, there is the same idea of having riches and rest. Turn with me. You still have your finger or paper or something in Philippians. I'll be back there in a minute. Go back into the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 12. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for owners thereof to their hurt. And here's what happens. We come into an abundance of things. And as good stewards of those abundance of things, you want to make sure that you keep those things. And consequently, well, now I need an alarm system for my house. Because someone might break in because the stuff I have is good stuff and they might want it for themselves. So therefore, I better have an alarm system. And we create more expenses by doing that. And maybe I should have something to manage my finances for me. So I'm going to pay a professional to do that. Now there's more expenses. And because of that, now I have to have more income. And it's a vicious cycle. And you go to sleep at night saying, I wonder if my stuff is really safe. In the church I pastored before coming here, there was a man in the church, owner of a printing company. He was a millionaire. He was on the board of directors at the bank in town. And it was one of these corporate deals where there are banks all over the places. And because he was on the board of directors, he would oftentimes have to go to Columbus for board meetings. He drove an old Oldsmobile. Every one of the other board directors, being rich like him, came in Cadillacs, Mercedes, and everything. He came in his clunky old Oldsmobile. And it was an old Oldsmobile. While they were at a board meeting, all these Mercedes and Cadillacs are in this parking garage. They all got vandalized. Because people said, here are rich people. They might have stuff, good stuff in their car. No one touched his car. Because he was content with an old Oldsmobile. And they looked at that and they said, who would own such a thing? Let's let that one go. He had no trouble sleeping at night. Psalm 127, verse 2. It is vain to rise up early and to stay up late to eat the bread of sorrows, because for the Lord gives his beloved sleep. Here's a person who's staying up late at night to burn the midnight oil to make something, getting up early in the morning, not because he wants to necessarily, but because he has this need to have things accumulating in his possession when he should be sleeping. And we don't rest in the promises of God, because we have to have all these other things. Last one. The dangers of being rich is that being full, we cannot be filled again. Your body has a certain capacity. You can only put so much in it until it's emptied. Paul is writing to the Philippians, and he said, God has given you something and you've emptied it. Don't think of that as putting yourself in a bad place. That's a good place. It's a place where God can fill you up once again. But if you hold on to all those things, God can't supply your needs. Without being too gross. Let me see if I can do this biologically. You ingest food. There's only so much room down here for the food in the stomach, in the intestines, to accumulate. When you ingest food, that's a good thing. And your body in the stomach and in the intestines is taking all the nutrients out of what you've ingested, which is good. It's wonderful. And there's benefit to having things. But if you don't get rid of what's left, they become toxins, poisonous, detrimental to your health. In fact, if it's become severe enough, could even be fatal. In order to maintain a healthy body, you've got to get rid of what you put in. May I say to you, the same is true in the Christian life. God gives us things, not just to hang around in the body, but to be used by the body for benefit and then get rid of them so that the body can take in more things. My God shall supply your every need. Okay, you get rid of what you had for lunch, and now what happens? I'm hungry. You eat again. You give in order that the will of God be accomplished in the lives of others, and you have now a deficit, he says to the Philippians, God will supply the next meal. He always does. But if you don't get rid of it, it could be detrimental to your health. Keep all that stuff to yourself. And boy, there are a number of ministries that boast how great of a bank account they have. But what do they do for the Lord? And the question is, no, they just have a great income. And I think that's also true on the individual stance. Paul says, I learned how to be content. When I'm hungry, when I'm full. But without learning, that can be a dangerous, dangerous thing. Where did he learn it? Well, he says here in verse 12, I know how to be abased, I know how to be abound everywhere and in all things I am instructed. He learned it in the course of life, but most of all he learned it in the Word of God. God tells us how to use our finances for our good and the good of others. And consequently, he ends this wonderful epistle of joy in suffering with salute everybody, greet everybody. And by the way, that's a way of giving too. Well, I hope you've enjoyed Philippians. We're done. Lord willing, next Sunday evening we'll begin with the book of Ruth. And have just a couple of studies in the book of Ruth. And before you know it, we'll be into Christmas. It's rolling around. So let's have a word of prayer and then we'll go home. Father, we thank you tonight for this great book of the New Testament. Thank you for the instruction that it gives us. And Lord, tonight I pray specifically concerning this passage that we be careful about the riches that you have blessed us with, that we do not become so enamored by them that we don't practice contentment, that we become so worried about them that we lose sleep, that we do not continue to work to use them for good, and that we're not willing to give of them to others. Lord, may we be found faithful in our finances, that we might be found faithful in the service of God. We'll just praise you. We'll thank you for your blessings and thank you for the promise that you will supply when we have needs. To that end, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.